All right, ladies, welcome once again to your Vegas Index podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and I've got John on the phone, and we're going to be doing a little Vegas recap today. I really don't have anything negative to say about the experience at all. I know you had a couple of things you wanted to kind of express, your appreciations and things like that. So I guess we could just start out there.
Sure. So everyone was great, and it was cool. I don't even know where to start. It was cool because one thing that stuck out to me, I guess, from the diet and fitness standpoint, was being with a group of people who didn't care or didn't. It was no big deal to go a whole day without really having a scheduled breakfast or a scheduled lunch and just dinner. And that was being around a bunch of like-minded people that way. It was cool. So we started every day with like a coffee, and then we went to the gym or just did our own thing or hang out by the pool. And then, we typically just had one meal a day and maybe some kind of snack somewhere along the line. But every other time I've been to Vegas with buddies of mine, like university buddies or friends that, they know what we do, but they don't really pay attention to what, exactly how our diet philosophy is. Like, they don't care, right? They just know I sell stuff online, and that's about all they know. But when I go to Vegas with my other friends, there's always, we have to have breakfast, we have to have lunch, we have to have dinner, and it's almost always a mass consumption, eat everything under the sun type of trip. And I think this time – I got leaner over the weekend. I came home – today was the leanest I've been in the last 4 weeks, and that's after being in Vegas for 4 days. So it was just really cool to be around a group of people who that's just how we all we just agree that that's not a big there's no problem eating in that pattern. And that was kind of, I don't know, it's like we have our own little secret society or something, because it was just really comforting. I can't really express the emotion, but it was really I felt like we all knew each other a lot. Even though it was the first time we met, I felt like we all knew each other for a long time, and it was super comfortable being around all of these, at least in-person strangers. We're not strangers from a digital standpoint. We've obviously been communicating. But it didn't feel new or different being around everyone, even though it was the very first time we met.
Yeah, no, it's funny. What's funny is every time somebody says secret society, I always picture Cruel Intentions and Selma Blair. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Yeah. She's all naive, and she's secret society, secret society. It's just
all right, now I gotta watch that.
Funny, but, oh yeah, it's great. Oh, so, dude, it's a good movie. But yeah, I agree. It was really weird. It was almost like eating was an afterthought kind of a thing.
Well, and we ate well. I mean, we ate well. It's just it wasn't the purpose. It wasn't as a mainstay of
the day wasn't built around it. Yeah, we didn't build our day around it.
Right.
That was kind of the cool thing.
Yeah, even though that's kind of what a lot of people do on vacation. It's just how much different kinds of food can they eat.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I ate pretty decent, but you know what? The other thing I didn't do was, we had a couple buffets, but I didn't do the buffet thing.
Where you eat to the point where you're in pain.
Yeah. You're just
I didn't do that either. I mean, it's not like we held back. It's just, it worked out well. That sushi was good. So yeah. I guess we should get around to everyone we met. Okay, so big thanks to Leanne for actually taking some pictures and documenting the weekend. I think without Leanne having the wherewithal and the bothering to take pictures, we would have basically no proof the weekend even happened. So that was, I totally appreciate that you took the time to take some pictures and put it up for everybody else in the Venus Forum. So really appreciate that. Kelly, probably the coolest 25-year-old person we've ever met. And I think the quote of the weekend for you was in the cabaret. It was you. Howard gave you big props. He was like, Kelly's awesome. I wish I was that awesome when I was 25. So and I think that was the sentiment among everyone else that was, well, at least the older people, I guess you could say. Alicia, way more energy than I could ever handle. I'm glad there was 10 other people to absorb some of her energy. You were great. And I actually just wish I could spend a little bit more time with Alicia. So I hopefully you can make it to the next Unsummit, whenever that is. And I actually have a really good story about Caroline when we were playing craps. So, first of all, Caroline has the ability to turn around $500 into $1,300. So if anyone is ever playing craps, I suggest you want to play craps with Caroline because she can double your money, no problem. I think she was the hottest roller of the weekend. So anyways, we're at the craps table at Paris, and I'm standing next to the dealer, and then Caroline's standing on the other side of me. So the dealer, it's pretty creepy. He's like staring at her the whole time and hitting on her for, what was it, about 2 hours? Were you there, Howard?
No, I wasn't at this one, no.
Okay,
but yeah, I heard the story the next day.
Oh my
yeah.
God. So he was just staring at her, and then he starts hitting on her, and then I wish you were there because it was the most pathetic attempt at picking up a woman I've ever seen, because he just couldn't have put both feet, as many feet as he could in his mouth, and everything he said just kept making it worse. So, you know, he's asking, and he's talking like right in front of me, and like just kind of like shoving right past me to talk. He's not even paying attention to the table. So as people are like winning money, he's like not paying out their chips and stuff, and it's pretty obvious. Everyone around the table is watching him try to hit on her, and he's using the worst line. Like, he actually asks her where she's from, and then he's like, oh, yeah, I have a couple ex-girlfriends there. Like, somehow that's supposed to impress her that other girls in the area, like, are sick of him too, right? So, and it's you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, tons of girls in your city hate me, so, you know, you could be the next. So,
yeah.
it just
kept getting, done.
Oh, my God, it kept getting worse and worse, and then he starts talking to me. It's like, oh, because he was kind of eavesdropping on our conversation, and I guess he started to realize that we do something related to working out and fitness. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I used to work out, but then I just stopped. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure that impressed her right there too. And then he went on to explain how he used to have money when he was a kid because his parents were rich, but now he doesn't. So I just don't get it. So, like, you're out of shape and you're broke, and at least a couple other girls where Caroline's from don't like you. So somehow that's supposed to impress her.
You've got nothing going for you at all.
Yeah. Like,
if your life is leading a downward,
yeah,
it's going down a downward spiral, and you're happy.
If you were actually to come up with a list of things that would have turned her off, I think he just hit all 10 of them or whatever it was. And then he just didn't stop. He didn't stop for like 2 hours. It was actually pretty pathetic. We were actually thinking of going back there, hopefully to see him again, just to see what else he would try.
But, oh, man. Yeah. I can't tell you how many stories like that, almost that exact same thread where people were almost just happy and bragging that their life had taken such an awful turn. Like it was a badge of honor or something like that. But they weren't doing anything to fix it, but they just the fact that they had done it, that it was kind of cool.
Dude, it was painful. It was painful listening
to
them. Like, it just kept getting worse too. And then – so I was – at first I was really annoyed, and then I was irritated, and then I was starting to become curious to see what else he would try to say. He didn't disappoint. He actually made it worse. Everything he said just kept making it worse. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't – God, it was bad.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was fun for me to just kind of be able to hang back, you know, especially on Friday night, just to hang back and look and watch all the guys try to come up and interact with the girls. And it was funny to me. Because
wasn't – didn't you have to like sort of – semi.
I had to. Yeah, I had to moderate.
She getting like hit on like big time.
Yeah, I was like her moderator pretty much. I'd like open the gate and let guys in and shut the gate.
Oh yeah,
it was just so funny to me. It's like, all right, you failed. You get out. Or you can talk now. It was just funny. And every
it was
time
like
I
being on a game
up,
show, you had to pass levels to get to talk to them more.
Yeah, it was like a lemon date, but the worst ever. it was just so bad.
See, that was going on in MGM. See, I missed some of that. I think I was gone by, or at least I don't remember, but I didn't see all of that.
So the thing about MGM is that it's just so dark inside. So your whole concept of time is just terrible. You have no idea unless you're constantly looking at your watch. And we were having a good time. So you take those two things on top of each other, you really kind of don't have an idea what time it is. So I walked outside to catch a cab, and it was daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so floored. I looked at my phone, and it said 7 o'clock, and I was like, what? I was like, no way. You got to be kidding me. And I was so disappointed that it was 7 a.m. I just remember thinking, I was like, I just don't feel like that was one of those type of nights. You know what I'm saying? Where it was like a 7 a.m. night.
I left around 4, and you guys were still there. So,
Well, I think I was kind of going off of you because you know you're kind of notoriously an early turner inner. So I was thinking that if you were turning in, it might have been one. Yeah. So maybe that was it. But oh God, man, it was just bad, man.
That was just the first night.
Did I tell you the story about when me and Alicia were walking up to get her change because when we were going out for sushi? So I mean, this dude, it like just smacks him in the face. But he's got
the door,
just bang, and I, you know, I was gonna say I didn't realize it, right? But he started making a big deal about it around all of his friends and stuff. But he was being all passive aggressive. It's like, oh man, some people can hold the door open, and so then I look back and he's got two little kids around him. I was like, oh man, way to disarm me for actually saying something back. Appreciate that.
Yes,
I mean, because he was making it really obvious, and I was like, all right, this is getting uncomfortable. People are starting to look. So I turn around to say something like, look, dude, I mean, dude, we need to write down a list of all the things that I need to not do around you for you to be okay. You know, are you okay? Do we need to, you know, kind of take this outside and have a little discussion because this is getting stupid. But I turn around and he's got little kids and I'm like, oh, God.
Whatever, though. Is it your job to hold the door open for everybody?
Exactly. I mean, it's like I slammed it on him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. You know? Anyways.
But there were just tons of little stories like that.
Yeah.
Just people. I got a really good opinion of a lot of people. So I got two sides of the whole story about how I feel about just kind of people in general. Like, you know, I'm kind of twisted. Part of me thinks that people are inherently evil, but with some good traits. But then there's another part of me that think people are inherently good, but with some bad traits. But I got a lot of both sides of that.
I think people are inherently good and are cooperative, but just their life's a lot of what goes on in their life just kind of sucks. And then in public stuff, in a little meeting like that, it just bubbles over and they just all the frustration comes out all at once. I don't think people inherently are bastards. I mean, that's a pretty sad thought if that's how it really is.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm like in between some of it. Just because of some of the stuff.
I think there's some outliers. I think there are some people who are just mean-spirited. They're just not nice people. But it's a bell curve, right? You've got some sociopaths. You've got some super passive people that get walked all over, and then you've got some super aggressive people who they're just mean-spirited. And then everyone else, I think, is in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, there were just some odd things that happened that have never happened to me before while we were there. Like that's never happened. I've never had somebody so pissed off but afraid to really confront me on something, right?
Well, I mean, literally. The passive-aggressive stuff's just completely uncalled for in any respect. Just say it to the person.
Yeah, just let me know, dude. the other thing that's never happened to me before, so like when Caroline and I went over to the pool bar, we're sitting there, and the place is packed, so we're ordering a couple of drinks at a time, so we just have to wait in line. And so we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden this guy turns around and he gives Caroline a drink, and she's like, oh, thank you, blah blah blah, and so then we look down, and the guy's giving away all our drinks to other people.
Oh, those were your drinks?
They were our drinks that he gave to her.
What a jerk!
And he goes, actually,
that's a pretty good move. That's actually a really good move.
I looked down.
I was like, you handed to the girl.
I was like, no way, dude. It's like, I was like, there's no way that we just drank those. And she's like, yeah. See, and then I guess the guy overheard me. He goes, and to give him his credit, he actually says, oh, my bad, dude. I gave away all your drinks. but he wasn't being mean-spirited. He was just oblivious. Yeah, yeah, he was just oblivious and just like, I gave away.
I'll give people like that a pass. He just wants to party.
Oh, yeah, and I had no problems. We didn't start any trouble with him. I just laughed, and he was like, sure. I'll help you out, you know, or I'll get the next round. I was like, man, dude, just don't worry about it. You're just not allowed around our drinks anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It happens. Oh, anyways, God. We were way off topic. I was straying way off the I mean, I just want to get – so Kat – Catherine, I wish we could have spent more time. It was great to meet you, and I guess we'll have to catch up again. And Laura, it was great to meet you too, and your husband. And I'm glad you could make it. So I think that pretty much covers everybody who was there. And it was cool just being around a bunch of like-minded people. I felt like we were all just long-time friends. It didn't feel at all new or different. It just didn't feel like it was the first time meeting everyone.
Yeah, there wasn't a ramp-up process. It was like we jumped into this. Like my buddy Brian, right? You know, I can go like 6 months without seeing him, but as soon as we hang out, it's like nothing changed. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's what it felt like with everyone here. It just felt like we were old friends just reconnecting.
Exactly.
At least for us. I don't know what it felt like for everyone, but that's what it felt like for us.
Yeah, I think I got more out of this than probably anybody else. And I say that because, you know, I don't think I realized how much this kind of means to everybody, right? And now that I know that, it's even – because you really can't see that in the forums at all.
Yeah,
you can't see how much this type of thing just – it's just so – been so eye-opening and so it's so helpful and so just like just earth-shattering is basically the only thing I can say. For just so many people. I mean, even on the guy's side, you know, I hung out with Lane for an extra day, and, you know, same thing. I mean, basically he spent the whole day just talking about his whole history and what he had went through mentally and all these things and how finally it all makes sense. And he was like, thank you. And I was like, and I'm just humbled, right? Sitting there talking to him, and I'm trying to, it was so much praise that I was kind of trying to deflect it off. Right. Cause it was kind of like, ugh.
We don't really deserve it because he basically did all the work.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like everyone that showed up did. I mean, I basically feel like everyone's their own little laser beam and we're just pointing you. So,
right.
And then everyone did all, it's all your work. It's not, we can do anything. We're just trying to make you efficient. That's all at this sort of stuff. So,
yeah. I guess the best part about it for me is I never really get to see. It's like you don't get to, you don't handle a lot of the kind of bad stuff we see from time to times, right? Yeah. Like, so you really see kind of the average and the good stuff, where I see more of the bad stuff and, you know, some of the bad comments that come in and things like that, just because that's more in the lines of what I do. But, you know, being able to actually be there and see that. The most positive, you know, comments that we've had beat the negative by a long shot.
Yeah, and then actually, you know, like, meet some people who really appreciate it in person and get to express
that.
Yeah,
the appreciation aspect of it was very humbling. I felt, I felt like I needed to. Going to this makes me feel like I have to step my game, my personal game, up to another level, just because I know if I do, somebody out there is going to benefit from it other than me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Well, I mean, we felt a degree of pressure to not let everyone down, I guess, to some degree. I mean, even though it was just an informal meetup, at the same time, there's like a slight expectation involved there too.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to really say about it except telling story after story after story,
those can trickle out over time, but in general I think it was successful, and I mean, hopefully get way more people out to the next one, and we'll try to announce a lot sooner and make the date definite a lot sooner so people can either arrange timing, schedules, families, finances, whatever. And I mean, it's not just meant for you don't leave your spouses and families and whoever behind. You bring as many people as you want, and they can join us, or you can spend some time with that. It's like whatever you want to do, right? Like Catherine was there with her husband and her son, and she spent some time there, and she was there ahead of us, and then came and hung out with us, but then hung out with them, and then Laura brought her husband to dinner. So it's kind of all over the place. You do whatever fits. There's not really a rule to how this works.
Yeah. It would, like, an Oya hung out with her brother for like half the time, which is fine. So I guess the next biggest thing to talk about is how we structure these things. Cause we know we're going to do them. You know, there's no reason to not do them. It's just how are they structured from now on out? Do we go to the same places? Do we go to different continents? Do we try to do four corners? You know, those types of things. Because there's really – we talked about it at the table before, you know, you guys left. There's really only one city in the world where you can kind of get away with bringing such a a big mismatch.
I think Vegas is for sure the once a year for sure in Vegas, and then maybe we might add maybe in one other year somewhere else. And I mean, as regulars, I guess, anyways. But we'll figure it out as we move along. We've already had suggestions in the forum. Some people want Chicago. Some people want something a bit closer. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, it's definitely something we're gonna do. There's no way in the world I don't think we wouldn't do it now. Mm-hmm. If anything, just the whole experience, just everybody, even we're like, all right, when's the next one? Because I think the best thing about it was
I just feel like getting back on a plane and going back to Vegas, really.
Well, I need like a week.
Well, yeah, before. Me too. I'm still jet lagged. Oh, it's a mess right now.
I'm so exhausted. I feel like I got in a fist fight and lost bad, like a gang fight. Dehydrated and.
My sleeping just can't get back on track. Maybe we should at least answer something here, because right now I think we're just rambling. We'll see. Okay, let's update the contest stuff. So we are, as soon as we're done recording this, we're going to go through and make our rankings. As I'm reviewing these, I was shocked when they came in, but it just, now I'm just reminding myself by looking how good everyone did. Is that grammatically correct? How well everyone did? Good? Well?
Well.
I don't know. Anyways, everyone did really well. And so this is going to be tough to judge. As I've mentioned to a few people, I'm going to be recruiting Marley to help judge them. So it'll be me and the Brads, and Marley will be basically the judging panel. I also might get Tori to help judge too, for as an unbiased sort of onlooker. So that will help round out our sort of judging panel for this time around. And that'll go for the transformation and the open. Everyone showed up really well on this one. I'm actually impressed. You guys outdid the guys for the first contest by a long shot. So the number of entries and how well everyone did seems to you just took it and ran with it. And I don't know if that's because maybe some of you are already aware of Adonis and just sort of believed in us, or because it was somewhat of a leap of faith for people to, because we didn't really have someone to look up to, right? Like the guys had. Even, I mean, same with the very first round of guys. They were just like Ron and Jason and those guys, Tristan. They were the first, and they just took a leap of faith on us, and so did you guys. And you know, AT2 and 3 and 4, they've had other guys to look up to, and they have a lot more role models to look to. But for just going on faith in us, you guys did an amazing job. So I totally appreciate everyone who submitted and went through it, because without you, we have nothing. So it's all about this first group. Everything will be about you guys.
Yeah, I don't have anything to comment on that. It's the truth. Here's the deal. So what we're going to do is, so this will go up, obviously, you're listening to this on Monday. Next Monday, we'll do another podcast that you'll have access to, and then we'll do a winner's podcast on Wednesday. Okay. So we'll announce everything on Wednesday.
In 2 days.
Hold on. We're doing 2 days. 2 days after this one, or 2 days after the next one?
No. 2 days after this one, we'll announce winners.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were saying we needed to do it. Okay. No. All right. Then that's fine. Yeah. So two days from now, we're going to do winners. So everyone will know, and it'll be great. And I think everybody's going to be really surprised. And I think I'm still going to be proven right on my. Here's what I need to do. I need to kind of write down my little, who I think's going to win at the very beginning.
But then how would you ever prove that you wrote it then and not later?
I don't know. Yeah, how would that work? Could, like a time release capsule or safe or something? I don't know.
You gotta like mail it to somebody. Mail it to a PO box. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, yeah. I know what you say, and you've said it before. The person who sticks to the program and doesn't try to mess around with it too much will be the one who wins. I think the guys are more apt to trying to mess around with stuff than the girls. To me, it seems like girls are less arrogant and more coachable.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the guys just are insistent on trying to do it their own way and questioning it the whole way through. And I don't know, maybe it's something to do with being, you know, that the alpha male tendency, or the not wanting to be led by another man but do it themselves, and all that kind of junk. And then, well, seriously, it is. Like we've had, we had
garbage.
guys, I don't know what you have to do to prove to these guys that, I mean, even the best athletes, even Michael Jordan has a coach. Like, even the best athlete has a coach. So, I mean, the guys just seem to want to take anything that they've learned and tweak it a bit to make it their own. And it doesn't, I mean, there's a lot of adjusting and tweaking in the program, but in general, the program itself, you just get on it and then you can make adjustments along the way. And it's not about, I mean, making adjustments, fine. It's just, it seems like the girls did it a lot simpler and just sort of got on the program and just went with it. Whereas the guys constantly want to mess around with it and I think they want to one up it, somehow make it better. And so a lot of them shot themselves in the foot that way and then had to come back and they're like, oh yeah, I went too far one direction or the other. But it seems though that the girls didn't do that, which makes you guys a lot easier to handle than the men, because they're constantly, it's like herding cats. They just run all over the place and they just don't want to go in one direction. Well, seriously,
that's just such a good analogy, herding cats.
Some of them overthink their diet. Some of them like try to add too much stuff. They're just all over the place. And then it literally takes them, like they go months and months off track until they come back. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like the difference. Like
the point is, I know what I'm doing, so just listen.
Well, man, let me tell you
Do as you're told, and you'll get results faster than if you mess around with it.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect example. We were on the last day, we were sitting and getting coffee before we all left. You know, Caroline comes up to me. She asked me a question. And I just kind of gave my perspective, and she was like, well, John said something that was kind of almost completely different. I was like, well, oh, then defer to him, you know? So it's the same thing. Like I'm just like, yeah, all right, well, whatever he says, that's the direction you go, you know?
And this gets to the root of belief preceding action. You've got to believe in something before you do anything about it. I wrote a post about it last week. So if you don't actually believe in it, you'll always find reasons to not do it. Mm-hmm. And that's also one of our, I don't know if I'm belaboring a point that we brought up last week. It's also one of the reasons you just got to stick to one thing. Sure. I don't even care. It doesn't even, I mean, if you happen to be following some other program, don't mix and match it with ours. Just do it. And if you're following ours, don't mix and match it with anything else. Just do it. Because otherwise, two things. If you read too much conflicting information, you'll start doubting one or both of the things you're doing. And the other thing is, you'll never be able to really know what program or what thing you were doing had the effect on your conditioning and the way your body looks and all of that stuff. So, like, the way I designed a program is to come up with a specific result. So if you mess around with it too much, you'll never know if the program worked for you, and you won't ever be able to tease out what gave you the kind of the result you're getting. And right. I have a specific, and if you like the result, the idea of what VI is, well, my program is supposed to get you there. And if you keep throwing other things in it and you're not quite getting to VI, then it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that maybe all that extra stuff's not helping.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's it. And it's a little mini science experiment, right? Like, you just have to figure out, you know, what are you doing? What do you want? And then is all of it necessary? Is there something missing, or is there stuff you need to take away?
What the funny thing is, it's a good like way to not add stress into your life. I mean, I can't tell you how, man, this is me talking at the same time. I mean, I've been in this industry for a long time and I still ask you stuff, and I just, whatever you say, I'm like, all right, it's just nice to know that I don't have to clog my head up with that.
The point is, most people that build workouts don't really know what the hell they're doing. They're just sort of throwing stuff against the wall and seeing if it's not really calibrated the way like what we're doing is. It's not really that objective. It's kind of just what everyone else used to do, and they didn't really think about it. So that's why people kind of just throw stuff, you know, they're going to do – a lot of people's workouts is just a mash of a bunch of different stuff. But then if you ever ask them, why are you doing that, they really can't come up with a good answer.
Yeah.
And then, or they'll be like, well, to build strength at this, but it's like, okay, so, but did you really want to build strength at that? Or, you know, it's just, the answer is almost never what they're really after. It's the, you know, this goes all the way back to goal hijacking and all that stuff.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, all I can do is beat the point more, so I don't want to do that. But what else do you have anything else? Any specific questions that kind of leapt out that we're down in Vegas, you know, just things that a couple people asked that just,
Well, form seemed to be a big thing. It was really interesting getting to work with everybody and see. I mean, form really matters, obviously. Like, an exercise isn't an exercise unless you're doing it in correct form.
Oh, it's form, not forum. Okay.
No, form, F-O-R-M.
Okay, yeah.
Form. Yeah, yeah. So it was good to work with everybody. And if you're not sure about – we have some video. We'll post that. So if you're not sure about your form, either just recruit somebody in the gym to help you, or even – I'd be super careful about hiring a trainer even for one session just to learn form, because you got to know that the trainer will be spending the entire session trying to convince you to A, not do our workout, and B, hire them like long term. So if you're going to go down that road at all for form, you got to be the boss and say I want one form lesson, and if you try to sell me training, I'm walking away. So and if they don't go for that, but my simpler answer is find somebody in the gym who looks like they know what they're doing and ask them. And I know that's crude, but the more – and it's okay if it's a guy. Like, the more accomplished bodybuilder-looking guys in the gym, as weird as this sounds, will probably be the people most apt to help you with your form.
Oh, yeah. Generally, the best trainers I see as far as form are the guys who are actually on. You know what I mean?
Well, they're hardcore because they're really invested in it.
Sure.
Like, they can't really necessarily afford to be sloppy in there, so sloppy with their form. So – I mean, if it's an issue at all, if you think your form is off, then that. I mean, I can put up a million videos of me doing stuff, but it's a lot different when you see it and when you have someone working with you in person. And it's like 5 minutes with someone is worth 100 hours of video online. So I can't obviously be there training everybody like hands on. So if you have somebody that you think is good at this that you could ask just for like 20 minutes of their time, and not on everything, but just on simple stuff, on the critical ones like deadlift, stiff leg deadlift, and squat, like kind of the main ones there. If your form's off on that, the exercise just isn't going to be hitting the muscles that they're supposed to be hitting and the way they're supposed to be hitting them. But once you get that form sort of pinned down, then it will become a lot more apparent that how that exercise is supposed to work.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be really careful with personal training. I've got horror stories that from just complete ineptitude and just don't even, I mean.
That's why I wouldn't even assume a personal training credential means anything. I would literally just look around the gym, find the person who really looks like their form spot. I mean, you should be able to tell the person who looks right. Someone who's doing a squat or a deadlift or any of those things properly, even if you're not really sure what proper form is, you can almost kind of just look and tell. Almost kind of like how the golden ratio, you just look at it and you're like, oh, I don't know why, but that thing looks good. Well, same thing with someone in perfect form. You'll be like, oh, that they just look – everything looks –
It looks rehearsed.
It looks rehearsed. It looks efficient. It looks tight. It just looks right. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of tell. It's pretty obvious when someone's doing a really sloppy deadlift or a really sloppy squat. Mm-hmm. But when you see it done properly, it's just – it's like a well-oiled machine. So, and like I said, most guys are pretty willing to, you know, give up 5 or 10 minutes of their time to help out.
Oh yeah, I mean, in fact, I see when I'm actually in the gym, I see a lot of guys and girls working together nowadays. A lot where a guy will really kind of take somebody under his wing. You know,
and believe it or not, I do this all the time, or I guess I don't do. If someone's right next to me and their form's a complete disaster, I don't say a word. Like, I'll just let them collapse because it's none of my business unless they ask.
Sure.
And it's just – I could volunteer it, but it's just not worth my time. But if someone asks, I'll totally help. And just about everyone would help. I mean, because at one point, even the biggest, strongest guy in the gym, he was that little intimidated kid who didn't know and wanted help. So they all kind of remember that. And a lot of them kind of get a bit of men and women alike, they get a little bit of a – I don't know if it's an ego boost or sense of appreciation or validate, whatever it is, when someone asks them for advice, that's placing you in a position of respect and authority and all that kind of stuff. So most people don't just turn it down. Most people are slightly flattered and they're usually very willing to offer some help.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right. So form was important. What else? Anything that came around? Injuries, anything like that?
Nothing specific. I know Naomi's got some shoulder issues that I'm going to hit up Dover for a podcast for later. Because lucky for you, Naomi, Dover did his research in shoulder injury and rehab.
Well, cool. I want to listen to that one.
Yeah, well, he works with a lot of pitching prospects and stuff down in Florida when he was there.
Yeah. Have we told that story on this podcast about how the you know, what the, like, baseball and sports and things like that, as far as how they, not judge, but what the best predictor of their longevity is.
And, no, what do you mean?
Yeah, you remember how it was all about just how certain people were just built to be more
robust. Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter how well they train and any of that stuff. It's just as long as they don't get hurt. Yeah.
So a lot of your elite athletes and things like that are just happen to be.
Oh, yeah, most people with a long pro career in any sport are nothing. I mean, they're good. Obviously, they're in that upper echelon of talent, but they're also the ones who last the longest are purely just durable and they don't break down. And there's no training or anything to there's no correlate besides the fact that they're just durable.
Yeah, that's
like, you can't measure why they don't break down. They're just built more durable than the next person over.
Yeah, that's just interesting.
Like Pelon's a Band-Aid. He just breaks down all the time. he'll get injured on the way to the gym in the car. Okay, so, I think we're pretty much good for today. I don't even know if anyone got anything out of this.
I think we're just kind of I just dropped a penny. Yeah, I mean, I guess we're just reporting on how cool everything was.
Oh, Alicia, call me a nerd in the forum. Did you read that?
I did.
There's nothing I mean.
I'd say if I was going to say anything, I'd say you're more of a geek than a nerd.
What? That's not any better. How is that?
Well, no, geek means, you know.
And then Kelly put up a Venn diagram of what a nerd
is. I could agree with that. I was like, yeah, you definitely are not socially inept, so you can't be nerd.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, there you go, Kelly.
So, yeah, you're not socially inept. I mean, it's that, but
I do, but I'm, dude, we're not having this discussion whether I'm a geek or a nerd. This is. Whatever.
I laugh.
And obviously no one else is there to defend it. So basically people are just going to think like that. Anyways, I'm so glad I made that impression.
Oh man. Yeah. I think you're taking that way to the wrong way. I think it's more of a cute thing than a nerd thing. Well, she's trying to express her appreciation for
Alicia
your intelligence. Nerd,
Alicia wrote nerd, then Kelly followed it up with a diagram. I think it's more than just a cute expression.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's a way to try to, you know, kind of give you a really big compliment, but not.
Oh, it's a backhanded compliment. I get it.
It's kind of like ego management. Like a lot of.
Do you actually think my ego needs managing?
Sometimes.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I've had enough of this.
I'm the best at what I do. No, I'm just kidding, man. I'm messing with you. But, I think we all do from time to time. I mean, we have to. I mean, that's why we do what we do. I mean, it's hard to put yourself out there. And I mean, and everybody that entered the contest can understand that from a certain perspective. I mean, you've got to, it's kind of tough to put yourself out there and
hey, those before pictures, it's a vulnerable space to be in that. It's even a vulnerable space even when you put your afters, even if you think you've done really well and you're happy about them and everything's looking good. It's both situations are vulnerable. I've never been judged before in a contest, so I can't imagine even what that feels like. If anyone wants to volunteer some comments on either in the forum on like what it feels like to be in this sort of, because as you're listening to this, we won't have picked winners yet. So, well, we've picked, but you won't know what they are. So I don't know what your thoughts or feelings are on sort of knowing that we're looking at those and kind of trying to categorize things. So
yeah, but yeah, it's like I was saying, it takes you kind of have to have some good self-talk to be able to, I mean, even what we do, like every time we put up a podcast, it's always funny because I always think it's going to bomb. Right.
Still.
Yeah. Still. I mean, it's
well,
just,
I don't know. A lot of your analogies bomb. So yeah, I can see where your apprehensions come from. I personally think they're all going to be home runs.
Well, that's why we work.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. I think we've had enough of this one.
All right, man. So, all right. So nothing to close on other than the fact that everybody was cool. We had a good time.
Everyone was cool as hell. I wish we got to spend more time. I think it was a consensus that if we could choose to, we'd all still be there. So I think the next one will be even better.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So, all right. So until 2 days from now, I am Brad Howard for John Barber, and that's your Venus Index podcast.